Anyway, Chris Solomon will join us here in just a moment of the No Laying Up podcast. So, Phil, we believe will be at the PGA Championship next week, and we believe Tiger Woods will be there. We'll ask Chris, you know, which is a more compelling story for him. Phil, considering he's been MIA, and this new book is coming out, right? This Shipnuck book is coming out, alleging that he lost $40 million in gambling over the course of 3 or 4 years.
What comments is the book, though? Did he want to do the book? Like, he came, like, he obviously sat with the guy and talked to him. Was it Phil's book? Is it Shipnuck's book? Whose book is it?
No, my understanding is it is a book about Phil.
Oh.
Where Phil, I guess, accepted the invitation to be interviewed. It doesn't sound like it's a biography or an autobiography.
Right.
It's, you know, it's, I believe it's a story digging deep into his life. And for whatever reason, he decided to be a part of it. Like, that's where he's very different than Tiger. Tiger's not doing anything unless he has full control. He's not giving you an interview if he doesn't want to give you an interview, or if he feels like you're going to jam him up. Woods isn't going to do that. Mickelson, you know, that's the crazy thing about next week at the PGA. Like, Phil loves the press conference, and he loves talking.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I don't know what that's going to look or sound like, but I have to believe he's got to step up to the podium if he's there, right? He has to.
Yeah.
Here he is. You can hear him on the No Laying Up podcast back on Overdrive. Here is Chris Solomon. What do you expect that presser to feel like, look like, sound like when Phil Mickelson finally shows up at the PGA and has to answer for where he's been the last couple of months and what's been going on in his life, Chris?
Man, you're going to hit me with one of the toughest hypotheticals there is in the game right now. I mean, it's going to be a lot of attention. I feel like there's going to be a lot of memes that come from this for how many people are going to be in that room. He is going to, I think it's going to take one person to ask a tough question, and then there's going to be about 10 more that follow. He does love a theater. He loves the stage. This is going to have to be one of the great performances of his life, a life of which that, you know, that has many, many, many great performances in it, both on the golf course and in the media. And I don't know how he spins this. I don't know how he saves himself from this. Losing all of his sponsors to all the things he said about the PGA Tour to the things he said about the people that are funding the new tour that he wants to be a part of so bad. He is a man on an island, and if he wasn't the defending champion, I don't think he would really even bother showing up at the PGA next week. But I do think we'll see him, and it's going to be quite a circus. They're going to try to get it out of the way early in the week, but it is going to be all eyes on the golf world on that press conference.
When he gets on the golf course, what kind of reception? I mean, this guy is renowned for the 7,000 thumbs up to every guy that says something. How do you think the fans accept this guy back?
I would picture on course the support to be pretty good. There's going to be some wisecracks and some, you know, some comments that people probably will think will be very funny, and they never really are. But it still has a way of captivating the fans, like you just said, and I think there's a good chance if he goes out, is smiling, is giving thumbs up, kind of encouraging the crowd to cheer for him. It's going to kind of take over, I think. I don't sense he's going to get booed. I don't sense that the wider golf audience really feels as strongly about this as a lot of people maybe in golf media feel about it. So I would be surprised if it got hostile out on the golf course. Now, maybe he says some things in the press conference that cause enough of a stir to make that to happen. I don't know, but if he plays his cards right, I think he can, you know, ground up some support at Southern Hills.
Chris, can you explain to us the Saudi Golf League, the LIV Golf League, whatever the name is, just what's going to happen? Obviously, Phil is one of the main guys that was supposedly supporting this. What Monahan and the PGA Tour are putting in place here, like, if you sign up for an event or you leave, you're never allowed back? Or what is the ruling here? What did Monahan decide to do?
So how it works is if you want to be a member of the PGA Tour, you have to abide by the rules and regulations of the PGA Tour. And the rules and regulations of the PGA Tour state that if you want to play in a conflicting event, an event, you know, the same week as a PGA Tour event, if you want to go play on another tour, you want to go play in a charity event, you want to go play in a YouTube video produced by No Laying Up, no joke, the players need to have a release, a signed release from the tour that says, okay, we own your media rights. You've kind of signed it onto this. We have taken your media rights. We have packaged them. We have sold them to broadcasters, and we are funneling that money back to you, okay? That's what we're doing to you. That's what we're doing for you. And collectively as a whole, this tour is worth more if everyone abides by this. Now, in little one-off situations, we will grant releases for you to play other events. How they do that is a question for them and not for me. But, you know, in the past, it almost always gets accepted. A certain amount of releases, sometimes it's with contingencies to say, like, okay, if you want to go play this event on the Asian tour, you got to come back within the next 3 years and play the AT&T that this event is opposite of. That's how it's worked in the past. Now, when it comes to LIV Golf Investments, the LIV Golf Invitational Series, or the Saudi Golf League, whatever you want to call it, it is seen as an existential threat to the PGA Tour, and it is something that is very different than playing in a one-off event. This is a rival league that the tour views as a huge competitor. So, Jay Monahan has said, if you go and go play in this league, you are banned. You are gone. There's the door. You cannot do that. Now, putting in for a release to go play in one of these does not get you banned. That is not equal banned. I believe the punishment will come from both the level at which you are playing in this series and whether or not you do play in this series. So what has happened 30 days before the event starts, the tour owes responses to all players that put in releases for this first event, which is going to take place in London the week, I think it's June 8th through 12th or something like that. And what they did was deny all those requests, and they gave a reason why. They cited the regulation, led to that decision and said, you cannot do it. What we now look to next is who's going to go do it anyways? Who is going to, you know, what happens to that person when they go play the event and then go try to play a PGA Tour event? Do they get suspended? If they do get suspended, do they take immediate legal action against the tour to say, you know, this is anti-competitive, blah, blah, blah? It's probably going to be, it's like part of it's going to be really exciting, and another big part is going to be really, really, really boring with legalese. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think the names that have been rumored to go are going to go. I think there's going to be maybe one or two surprises, but nothing that's going to really rock the boat. And I think this whole thing is going to be, you know, fought out in conference rooms by lawyers and settled somehow, somewhere. I just don't know how it's going to go.
Can you give us a couple names, three or four names that guys are going regardless? Like, they're just going. It's automatic.
Well, Sergio Garcia, with cameras following him and microphones nearby yesterday, said to a rules official that gave him a bad ruling, which, if, as an aside, Sergio was right. The rules official was wrong. But he said, I cannot wait to be done with this tour. I cannot wait to be done in only a couple more weeks, and I'm done with this tour. So, based on that, I am going to say Sergio Garcia is extremely likely. Lee Westwood is a name that is heavily, heavily, heavily rumored to the point, and he's been a defender of it, says he's signed an NDA. He's not kept it very close to the chest, that he will be one of those guys. I believe Jason Kokrak will be one of those guys. Kevin Na, potentially one of those guys. If you see Golf Saudi on somebody's golf bag, you can imagine that they are very, very interested in taking some of this blood money. Ian Poulter's been long rumored. I don't know how that one's going to go. He has, you know, how will it shape out for some of these players when it comes to their Ryder Cup captaincies or assistant captaincies?
Crazy.
That, you know, now that you're kind of turning your head on the, or you're turning your back on the DP World Tour, which has supported you for a lot of years. It's going to be a weird first event. I know that a lot of people that flat out don't deserve to make this much money playing golf will make a ton of money playing golf. And their strategy is basically to try to lure people in. Once those checks get cashed for that first event, they are hoping, you know, that a lot more people say, like, huh, well, that wasn't so bad. What happened there? I need to go play for that much money because it's way more than I'm making over here on the PGA Tour. So that's their strategy. When you have a endless well of money like the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund has, it may work to some capacity. I don't know. I think it'll work in fracturing the golf world a little bit, and that's not something as a golf fan that I want to see, but it's not close to being over. This could take years to play out.
With Chris Solomon of the No Laying Up podcast, I think a big part of this new tour's popularity will be how the media decides to cover it. You know, for instance, we're in a very unique spot up here because the first event is going to coincide with the Canadian Open, and this show we're going to be at St. George's. We're going to be live on the course. So yeah. We're not talking about it. You know, we're not even going to be following it for the most part. But I'm curious, you know, your podcast, No Laying Up, the Golf Channel. Do you expect full coverage? Do you expect reporters? Do you expect, you know, Brandel Shamley to be breaking down what Lee Westwood shot at a Saudi event? Like, yeah, or co-crack. Like, how do you see the coverage factoring into the popularity here, Chris?
Honestly, we haven't gotten that far. I do not imagine that it will be us breaking down the results of any of these events. If anything, it will be breaking them down almost for comedy's sake to say, here's how much this person made, you know, because I do think this first field is going to be pretty comical. And it's going to be highlighting, you know, what has unfolded here. What is it any different than what we thought it would be? What is the production like? Does this have any staying power? Those are all things that I think are very applicable to the golf world. And the key to this all being, can you be honest about it, right? Can you be objective about it and, you know, say exactly what you think about it? And that's exactly what we're going to do. Do I see it dominating, you know, in terms of what we, you know, feel like it's worth covering on the competitive golf scene? Absolutely not. If it's a comedy of errors, that I think it's going to be, you can count on us, a lot of people in the media, to be paying a fair amount of attention to it.
Yeah, that's probably true. If there's material for us to goof on, we'll take advantage of it. I guess we'll get you out of here on a PGA question and a Tiger question. We believe mm-hmm. he'll be there at Southern Hills and at mm-hmm. PGA Championship next week. We saw what he brought to the table at Augusta. What is a reasonable expectation for Tiger Woods next week?
I promised myself I would never doubt his golf ability ever again, and I think I just caught myself ready to do it. Now, actually, I'll do it. Listen, the man has basically one leg, okay? I think a realistic expectation, a realistic best-case scenario is for him to make the cut. He can get around Augusta in a different way. The course knowledge and the course that he has for Augusta is really unlike any other course on the planet. He can play that place based on memory. You know, it is not as demanding off the tee from a fairway width perspective as Southern Hills is. It doesn't require a lot of shots out of the rough, which require a different, you know, layer of strength and touch that we just haven't seen him be tested on. And so I'm not as optimistic about his chances at Southern Hills compared to how he did at the Masters. I very, very much hope to be proven wrong and will continue to be stunned for every professional golfer that he beats in a major championship after almost losing a leg. So that's my honest answer. Yet at the same time, I scold people for ever doubting him. So who knows? A top 10, can it be possible? Absolutely. This guy has done things at certain points in his career, including winning the 2019 Masters, that I truly never, ever thought would be possible. So I'm happy to be wrong another time.
Yep, we'll find out starting next week. Great stuff, Chris. Always appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you for this.
Anytime.
There's Chris Solomon of the No Laying Up podcast. Yep, Tiger versus Phil versus the Saudi League. There's going to be a lot cooking in the golf world.
What I don't understand about the Saudi League is he just named the four or five, like,
that's a brutal field.
Dude, who the hell wants to, like, who wants to be interested in that?
Yeah. Jason Kokrak
and Lee Westwood and Kevin Na on a three ball in the final group on Sunday. Nobody wants to tune into that.
No, it's brutal. Yeah, well, it'll be goofy.
They're going to get local. They are going to get people watching, though. They are. Like, it may not be a lot, but
they have a TV deal? I don't even know. Like, that's
no idea. Wouldn't you think that would be out already?
Probably streaming. If they've got nothing but money, they'll sign a deal with somebody to stream it or do whatever. Like, probably they'll get it out there. Believe me. Yeah,
they definitely do. You know, I mean, they definitely do have money backing them, but I don't know. We'll find out. Canadian Open, though. Royal St. George's will be there making things happen.
Just St. George's, bud.
I know. It's just St. George's. I don't know why I'm starting to do that myself. Royal St. George's.
No, that's unacceptable.
That's over.
Royal St. George's is in the UK.
Yes, of course. It's St. George's. I know that. And recently, I'm not going to blame others, but it's like Royal St. George's. We're playing Royal. I'm like, no, it's not. St. George's.
Blame the grappler. He says it all the time. That's what it is.
Well, he is. He's familiar with that course. He played it earlier in the week, chewed it up. I think he thinks he's got a chance of playing himself in. Maybe a sponsor's exemption for the Canadian Open. It's possible.
No.